Welcome everyone to the Freaking Awesome Podcast. I'm John Abaya. If you're new to the podcast, we basically discuss the things we watch, play, listen, and read throughout the week. This week, my brother's not here, but we do have two guests that's been on previous podcasts or episodes. We have my nephew, John Abaya, again.
Hello.
And we have Greeks, or not Greeks, we have Greg Dietz from the All Queued Up podcast. Sorry, Greg, I messed up your name there.
I've been called worse. There's a few Twitch streamers that I've subbed to, and they're just like, thanks, Chubrock Greek. And I'm just like, where did you see an R?
I think I did mentally put that in my head. Yeah, I'm actually staring at your name on, so behind the scenes, we're recording on Discord, and I'm literally, my name is, your name is get covered a little bit with my program Audacity. So I saw, mentally saw Greek.
That's a good nickname, right?
Yes, it is. So another behind the scenes thing. Today, I actually invited several of our old guests on the podcast. Old co-hosts. I invited Anthony Marshall, Sir Se Chow, and Ben Abaya. Of course, he's like the main guy. But they couldn't make it today. So we only have half of us here. And interesting enough, that plays a lot in what we're going to be discussing in the main topic.
Yes.
The main topic today, we'll be discussing Avengers Infinity Wars. Yeah, Infinity Wars. Or Marvel's Avengers Infinity Wars. I don't know what you want to say. Yes. But before that, we do have a trailer talk like we do always. And this week's trailer talk, we'll be discussing Venom.
Whoever you are.
I work at the Life Foundation, and I need your help. We found something. We call them symbiotes. Carlton Drake believes that the union between human and symbiote is the key to our evolution.
I'm feeling really sick.
I'm hearing a voice.
Eddie.
You're not real. You were just in my head.
I'm gonna need Mr. Drake's property back.
I don't know.
Why would we do that?
So, the trailer is Venom, and on IMDb, we usually read the synopsis, but this one has anything on it. I have no idea. It just says this plot is unknown. And judging by the trailer, you can vaguely figure out what is it about. But the movie is directed by Ruben Fleischer. He also directed Zombieland. So he's a more comedic.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense, some of the colors.
Yes. And then it stars. So IMDb is a user made, or user can enter the thing. So I'm only going to read the four people, or the three people that I know of that's actually, or three, four people I know of in the trailer. It's Michelle Williams, Tom Hardy as Venom, Jenny Slate, and Riz Ahim, I think, the guy from Star Wars Rogue One.
Yes.
I think he was the engineer. Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, yes.
Or the pilot?
A pilot, probably. Yeah. He was trying to fuel in the thing. So, let's start with you, Nino. What do you think about the trailer?
Well, it's so vague. I don't know what's going on. I kind of know what's going on, but it looks... Okay, so when John and I watched the film Infinity War yesterday, we saw Venom in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw it on the PC or my phone or the TV, Venom looked different than in the theater itself, because I was actually worried on how Venom's facial cosmetic look.
Oh, okay. Yes.
But in the theater, it looks believable. I'm like, wow, it's not bad. It doesn't look like Spawn. Like, it's actually believable. Mm-hmm. But some of the things they're talking about, I think they need to reword a few things, like, what is Venom? How did they pronounce him?
Oh, I don't know. Jenny Slate says it differently.
Yeah.
Than I
thought. That irritated the crap out of me.
So how does she say it?
I grew up reading the... So it's pronounced symbiote.
Yep. Yep.
Like, yeah, anything that you've ever seen of Spider-Man, like live action, they say symbiote. Even the third terrible Spider-Man movie, symbiote.
Exactly.
She goes, symbiote. Yeah. I'm just like, no.
Exactly. That was surprising to me. But other than that, it should be interesting. I think they should win the Carnage first, because I think it would be easier to do Carnage, because make it more horror.
Oh, go to horror route.
Venom. Just, I don't know. But I understand why he's Venom, because Spider-Man came out Venom.
Yeah. Well, I'm interested. I'm actually interested in why you want Carnage before Venom, because technically, Carnage comes from Venom.
I think it's more of a the process. It's easier to make Carnage for me because making more a horror, like a lot of the
like a different
film.
Route. You want a different.
I think I personally
bit more like scientific this and that. Where Carnage, it could be a horror film because of how
I think. I honestly think having a 2-hour movie called Maximum Carnage, where they kind of introduce Venom briefly in the beginning, like, and then, oh, he was escaping jail and a clip of him fell off and hit his Cassidy. Like, that would have been cool, and having Spider-Man in it without having, like, this long, arduous, like, who is Spider-Man? Because we know who the hell Spider-Man is.
Mm-hmm.
Just having a 2-hour Maximum Carnage movie would have been way better than I think this movie's going to be.
Yes. So what's your thoughts, Greg?
I'm interested, but interested in a very curiosity sort of way, not so much I'm excited. I feel like Venom and Eddie Brock are characters that don't really work by themselves. You kind of have to have Spider-Man there for it to make sense. Like, where does Venom get his powers? Why does Venom use that shape? Well, it's because of Spider-Man.
Oh, yes.
And to have the symbiote,
symbiote.
kind of take that form and at the end of the credits, like, doesn't make sense. So, I mean, I hope the movie kind of plays with that a little bit and makes it make sense, but that trailer, like, straight up, like, the comic book part of my brain's like, I don't like the Eddie Brock. I think they made him really meek for seemingly no reason. Because the Eddie Brock in the comics is boisterous and loud and obnoxious, and this one's just like, I don't know, guys. Like, I'm a little Woody Allen-y.
Yes.
I'm just like, okay. We'll see. I mean, I'll see it. I'll definitely see it, but I'm cautious about it. I feel like Sony and Spider-Man stuff have been really... The best way that I can describe Spider-Man and Sony is a lot of the... you hear a lot of the Price is Right losing noise.
Wah, 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 wah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I feel like I want the Venom movie to be good because I like Venom. He's one of my favorite villains in Spider-Man's rogue gallery. But I don't know. Like, it's hard for me to. I don't want to be that comic book guy. I used to be that guy. I mean, back when I did this podcast a long time ago with you, John, I would sit there and be like, I didn't like it because it wasn't like the comic book. I'm not like that anymore. I'll judge something objectively by what it is, and I definitely want to do that with this movie. I want to give this movie that chance.
Mm-hmm.
But when they do things like symbiote, I'm just like, oh, did y'all just read the word and then accidentally mispronounce it?
They need to do something about that. That is so...
So, the only person who says it in the trailer is Jenny Slate.
That could be something.
Yeah, I adore her as like a comedian and actress. I don't know if it's just her way of delivering the line is... Just her saying
never
it.
Know. Maybe someone
corrects her. Later on. But yeah, my thoughts. I'm a huge Spider-Man man. A Spider-Man
no
fan.
Way.
Man.
What?
When I saw this, I was really interested. But then looking at it, it feels way different than I thought it'll go to. I mean, they had like a teaser trailer that had no Venom, and now this is the actual trailer, and they show Venom at the ending, and I thought he was kind of cool, but I hope they work on him more because I don't want like a skinny version Venom like we had in Spider-Man 3. I hope they like do like similar to what they do with Deadpool with Colossus. Mm-hmm. Like just make him look big.
Put the rock.
Yeah, yeah.
Rock under that skin.
Well, I think one of the big reasons that Venom was so big in the comics was because Eddie was so buff.
Yep, yeah.
And I think having a guy be that ridiculously buff is not possible. I mean, look at Chris Hemsworth. Look at Chris Hemsworth's Thor. Hey, like, that's as big as you're going to get a guy to be.
Also, you mentioned Tom Hardy, his voice. I don't know if he literally just choose to make another voice. He's, you know, with Bane and whatnot.
Yeah.
I don't know if he could have played it more straight in the line of Inception. Like, that type of boisterous attitude I really liked. This one, I really worried the way he's that character's acting. It's just very odd to me. I'm still like you guys. I'm going to watch it either way.
I see what you mean, but like same with Bane. You looked at it before, like, oh, what kind of voice is it?
Yeah.
And then towards the end, like, you're used to it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
oh, yeah, kinda, I enjoy it.
Yeah. But yeah.
I mean, arguably, I still strongly dislike that movie. But that's a whole other topic. I'll just say this for the sake of argument. The reason I dislike that movie is because I feel like it's made very poorly.
Oh. It's not the best Nolan movie.
I mean, nothing against any of the actors, per se. It's all on the filmmakers.
Yeah.
Also, sorry about the motorcycle coming across my house. I guess that's Bane.
Brock.
I almost said Bane going by. It's Venom going by. I will give them credit in this that, you know, when Eddie is kind of fighting the Venom symbiote in the comics, Venom is starting to attach himself to Eddie, they start to refer to themselves in the plural of we.
Yes, I love that part.
That's awesome.
That was awesome to hear. I was like, yeah. Yep. So full credit there. You may have mispronounced symbiote, but you got the we part correct, and I can get behind
you
that.
You never know. That could be just a teaser.
Yeah.
Piss you off. I'm like, oh, what?
I'm because that's honestly the biggest thing that I've been seeing on the internet about the trailer is like not the fact that like the way he looks is different than the comic, because I don't think people care about that because they still got the big mouth and the tongue.
Yeah.
And the eyes look similar, but the whole like somebody was like, oh, I watched the Venom trailer and I realized that I've been pronouncing symbiote wrong my whole life. And then someone's like 20 minutes later, then they'll tweet out like, no, I wasn't mispronouncing it. I pulled up the animated series.
that's what I go by too.
Yeah, that is a good one.
But yeah, moving on. Looks like we're all interested in this trailer.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna watch
it. It's interested enough.
Yes. Moving on, so we're not going to discuss the things that we watch, play, listen throughout the week. We're just going to go to the main discussion. And this week's main discussion is Marvel's Avengers Infinity War.
Avengers. I hope they remember you. I do hope those that survive remember everything.
So, like always, we'll read the IMDb synopsis that my brother created, or not created, always done on the podcast. The Avengers and their allies must be willing to sacrifice all in an attempt to defeat the powerful Thanos before his blitz of devastation and ruins put
to the universe. Marvel come in and try to destroy Thanos with his gauntlet.
So the movie is directed by Anthony Russo and his brother. I forgot his the brother name. Joe Russo. Yes. The movie stars.
I thought it was Russo, not Russo.
Russo, yes. Oh, I'm a fan of Jenny Slate, so I'm going to say it anyway. I want to.
There you go. Touché!
Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man. Chris Hemsworth as Thor. Mark Ruffalo as Bruce Banner. Chris Evans as Captain America. Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow. Don Cheadle. Oh, God.
Don Cheadle.
Yes, as War Machine.
Oh, yeah.
I pause on this name. Benedict Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange. Tom Holland as Spider-Man. Chadwick Boseman as Black Panther. Zoe Saldana as Gamora. Karen Gillan as Nebula. Tom Hiddleston as Loki. Paul Bentley as Vision. Elizabeth.
Can we just have a podcast where you try to pronounce names?
I know. This should be fun.
Elizabeth Olsen as Scarlet Witch. Anthony Mackie as Falcon. Sebastian as Winter Soldier, and there's a whole list. Just go on the IMDb. I'm probably missing most of the Guardians. It's the galaxy on there.
Just so the audience knows, literally the only characters that are not in it is anybody that was in an Ant-Man movie. Literally anybody. And Hawkeye.
No.
That's it. That's the only people not in it. So slight spoiler alert, I guess, but yes. It's a throwaway line in the movie anyway, so who cares?
They're not a big part of the movie, but...
part of the movie.
Our discussion will generally just be focused on non-spoilers, your overall thoughts. So after our this little main discussion, we'll do our little plugs, and after the ending credits, we'll literally just talk about spoilers. So right now, we'll probably discuss this for... probably 5 minutes, yes. And move on. Let's start with you, Greg. What are your overall thoughts?
I absolutely adore this movie. I mean, there are moments in it where, again, that comic book part of my brain wants to see, and I got to see those. There are a few moments that legitimately made me laugh really hard because it was either... absurd, or it reminded me of why I loved that in the comic. You know, I can't talk about it, obviously, because it's really, really difficult to talk about this movie with spoilers, without spoilers. Ooh. For an old school comic book, Marvel comic book geek, this is a huge win in my book. I feel like with so many characters, it could have been very easily overloaded and, difficult to convey how the movie should have gone, but the Russo brothers did such an expert job at making it work, at making everything feel right, and making the pacing correct, and getting everybody screen time, and it was just really, really well done and well put together, and I'm super happy and very excited for next year.
Yes. Nino, what's your thoughts?
General? Is it next year's
the next part year. Two? Yeah, May. Oh, wow. Same month. Same, probably right the same after. Day.
I enjoyed it the whole time, except, you know, obviously what happened at the end. But their lines are just so ridiculously funny. Like, how they mesh together. It's like they just go back and forth. I can only imagine, like, what they do during a cookout or something like that. It's just out of... Oh, my goodness. It's just... They mesh very well. It is very difficult to speak about this without any spoilers. So
and like the whole movie's a spoiler.
Yes, it feels like. Pretty much. We can't talk about anything.
I mean, even the opening scene is spoilerish.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Yeah. So it's. I enjoyed it. I mean, this is 10 years in the making. We took John's son, and he was younger, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He's only 9.
Yeah, he was born after this movie.
Yeah, so it is 10 years in the making.
Yeah, but
so,
he's been catching up to this point. I was like, oh, really surprised.
I'm quite amazed, and I can't say I'm quite amazed, because I was expecting it to be that good.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I can't say much. Like, I enjoyed it.
So, my overall thoughts echoes your guys. After this film, I literally... didn't want to like watch or read or anything about anything, like any stories. I just wanted to like just rest my head because what they shown in this, what they accomplished, basically evolving all these different characters. And I really can't wait until next year of the conclusion of this, because this is one of these movies where it's like a very, I don't know what you have, how we say it, but it's like a iconic to me movie, yes, that people will be discussing about in the future.
And... I'll say this much for your sake and for what I think you're trying to get at. We've had a lot of movies, sequels in the past, that set up things for a third film or like a conclusion film.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie does those, like it blows those out of the water.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And yeah. So, that's my overall
thought. But it also doesn't work without 19 movies before it.
Yes, yes. So yes, I'm not
quite a bit. Yeah, yeah. It's a 10-year in the making.
There's a piece I've generally I didn't read all of it, but it's from the New Yorker. If you guys want to check that out, I forgot what the piece was called, but it's literally about how if a new person watched this movie, how it will be very difficult for them to understand each character motives of what they're doing and whatnot.
I'd also like to meet that person.
Yes, because everyone, even my wife, he doesn't watch all the movies, understand what was happening and was invested with the characters. Like the only movie she hasn't seen is probably the couple of the Captain America, or the one Captain America movie, the last Iron Man movie, the Hulk movie. She did
which one?
The first one, the one with
Edward Jones.
Yeah, Edward Jones, the one that they kind of not.
I was so when the trailer came out, the big trailer, not like the I'd say about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
I showed it to my mom because she had seen a few. She actually got into the Marvel Universe via Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes, that's what Aji too. Same thing.
Okay, so yeah, it because that movie's really well made. I asked her. I said, "Which ones have you seen?" And she says, "I don't know. Like, let's run it down." So like, I was like, "Have you like?" I went through phase one, and she was like, "Okay, so I've seen the first Iron Man. I've seen Captain America." And then I went to phase two, and she had seen almost all of phase two, but Ant-Man was the only one that she hadn't seen. And I was like, yeah, whatever. and then we went to phase three, and she had seen all of it. Now, here's the thing. The only trilogy she hadn't seen was Thor.
Oh, so I know a lot of people don't watch the Thor movies.
Well, she goes, does this mean I have to watch the Thor movies now? And I was like, yeah. And she goes, why? And I was like, well, the first one introduces you to the characters. The second one introduces you to the Reality Stone. And the third one is just a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, okay, I guess so. So she watched the first one. She's like, that was cool. I enjoyed that. And I was like, all right, sweet. So we watched the second one. And she was like, that one wasn't as good. But I see, like, are you talking about that, like, that red misty thing? I was like, yes, that's the red stone. And she goes, okay, so then I watched Ragnarok with her, because I love that movie, and she was like, that was just as good as Guardians, and I was like, I know! So, it got her really excited for this one. Unfortunately, just kind of maybe this is an overshare, but she has a medical issue to the extent where she couldn't see the movie.
Oh, sorry.
So there are moments in the film where, like, we had to go to the theater, it was me and my dad. And the seat that was going to give to her was, there was just this, like, 65-year-old lady who seemed like, I don't know that she would read comics. Maybe she saw these movies off and on, but there are, and I'll talk about this in the spoiler, but there are moments in the movie where she just go, uh-oh.
Out loud.
Yeah, I was sitting right next to her, and every time she'd do that, I would just smirk, because I was just weird. Like, oh, that's adorable.
I love those movie experiences. But, yes, so... This is the end of our main discussion. We're just going to move into our plugs, basically. Greg, where they can see you on the internet?
You can follow me on Twitter at ChubRockGeek. That's geek, not Greek. that's basically where I'm going to post. All, like, if I do a review or if I do something else, like, that's where you can find me. I'm still doing the Mission Start podcast every Sunday night. Anthony and I do a live recording of it. We do a pre-show and a post-show, so you get to come hang out with us for at least 2 hours. That podcast is all video game news. So we pick 5 of the top stories, we discuss them, give our opinions on them, and then I do a thing at the end called the Overwatch Minute, where my current favorite game has constant updates and news about it, so I just kind of bring up what that is and we discuss it. But the other podcast that I've been doing for about, it'll be on the 16th episode. We do it every other week. Like, it premieres every other week, but it's a, Netflix or internet streaming show review and discussion. Josh and I, my co-host Josh Fisher, we watch 2 shows in their entirety. So, if it's 13 episodes, an hour apiece, we watch every single episode and then we spoiler review it. So if there's a show that you've watched and we've discussed it, you can check out that singular episode. This last episode that we did, we actually had, John on as a guest.
That's me. No.
And we discussed, Seth Rogen's Hilarity for Charity, special and, the new Lost in Space show
that we both enjoyed. That's spoiler. Yeah, I guess you could say.
It's fine. It doesn't matter. I mean, like, that's the thing about our website too that you can go to, which is allqueduppodcast.com. Remember that, allqueduppodcast.com. I feel gross for doing that.
It's fine.
it's just the way I did it. I feel gross. But no, if you go there, there's actually a tab where you can see the episode title and what we reviewed and our rating or grade, I should say. we give grades on it, which is I stole that from CinemaScope, or CinemaScore, sorry, CinemaScore. But I like that. I like the grading system. But yeah, you can see what we gave it. And if it's not where you would have put your grade, you can listen to it and hear the differing opinion. Or if you're looking for a show to watch and you don't care about being spoiled, that's also a thing. But, yeah, we've been doing it for a little while now. It was a brainchild of mine early 2017. Like, I came back from MAGFest. It was like, I want to do this podcast, and then couldn't get it off the ground for a while. And it was slow going too. Like, we were going to do a video version of it that just didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had to boil it down to just audio. And to be honest, I think the audio is actually better than the video. So.
Yeah. It's easier to edit and easier to put up audio.
Yeah. I mean, Josh is the one that edits, and he has a really fun time making the YouTube videos for it. Cause he just puts up images.
Oh, cool. But he also has that.
Yeah, he also has a really fun so we watched, spoiler alert here, we watched a show called Devilman Crybaby, which is on Netflix. Mm-hmm. We both did not like it. I probably liked it a little bit more than he did, but not by much. And when we gave our grade, we were basically dissing Anthony pretty hard. Mm-hmm. giving him a ration of shit, and we can cuss on this podcast, yeah?
Yeah, yes.
It's kind of too late now.
I mean, well, you can bleep me, so there's that. But, so yeah, we're giving Rash and shit, and he puts up an image of Anthony reading a book, like it was part of Anthony's portfolio, and it just says, "You can blame this asshole for us watching Devilman Crybaby." It's a lot of fun. Cool. Yeah, but everything that we have our podcast on. And any place that you can help us out via Patreon or donations or whatever is all on allqueduppodcast.com.
Yeah, you guys go check that out. Nino, where they can find you on the internet?
So they can find me in Twitter and Instagram at John_Abaya.
You got those?
Yeah, no, wow. I know, right? But I'm mostly active right now on Facebook just because of sports. Huge sports guy. And they just did the NFL draft recently. So, yeah.
you can check me out at on Twitter at the most organized Twitter feed of 2018 at Abaya Arts. Shout out to, I just want to mention this real quick, our previous guest on the show, Richard Newby, wrote an article for Hollywood Reporter titled "How Avengers Infinity War Transcends Its Comic Book Origins." I would want our listeners to go ahead and check that out and read it. He wrote up a really good article about how the movie really took elements of the comic book but also made it better for viewers, so you know it doesn't make easier for viewers to understand. And yeah, just check that out. Shout out to him. Also, I forgot to mention, Greg, we have this list every year called the Freaking Awesome List. This year it's 18 things that we include. I don't have that list in front of me. I don't know how to edit it because Ben has all the information. But real quick, Greg, what would you want to add onto that list?
I'm going to throw God of War on there, the new God of War.
Oh, wow. I heard that game is good. So one of our guests, our co-host guests, Sir Sei Chow, was really into that game, and I always want to know his thoughts about that game too. But yeah, God of War will be on the list. I'll make a note and tell Ben that. Why would it be on the list real quick?
Because it just tells a better story than the previous God of Wars, and I feel like with how well the combat kind of feels in the game, not limiting you on what you can do, but also freeing you on what you could be able to do, is very well done. It feels like the writers really went above and beyond on their Norse mythology. And it also feels to the extent of, like, if you've never played a God of War game, you aren't going to feel lost in this game. Mm-hmm. So I just, it's expertly written. It's really, really well done. And without spoiling it, without saying any spoilers, like, you should definitely go play it. And it's basically like an upper echelon game in my book.
That's cool. So yeah, we'll add that to our list. I wish I can read it off
of all the items.
So our list, if you're new to the to the list, it's literally anything of 2018. It has to come out of 2018. So it could be a person, a event. Like in the past, we had, I think, the Space Shuttle X when they first launched it and actually landed. That was what was on that list. And even people like Donald Glover was on the list that, at one point. But yeah, it could be anything. Oh. But it has to either happen or came out of 2018. Oh. But yeah, thank you, Greg, for that. So that's the end of our podcast. Thank you, Greg Dietz. Thank you, John Nino Abaya.
How hey, you're say? Welcome.
Yes, I'm John Abaya.
Oh.
This is going to be the fun part. I'm John Abaya.
Nino Abaya.
And I'm John Greek.
And that was the Freaking Awesome Podcast.
Jarvis.
Welcome home, son.
I am Iron Man. You think you're the only superhero in the world? Mr. Stark, you become part of a bigger universe. You just don't know it yet.
Who the hell are you?
Nick Fury, director of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh.
I'm here to talk to you about the Avenger Initiative.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the spoiler part of our podcast. I'm Nick Fury here with the same people from the previous part with Nino and Greg Dietz. And if you haven't watched Infinity War and you're still listening to this, go back and watch it because we're just going to spoil it. We'll discuss all our favorite moments, all of our disappointing moments.
If you have not watched the movie yet.
The thing we should mention, though, is that we vanish and are now in the soul dimension.
Oh, yes, yes. That's where our previous our co-hosts are right now. Dust away, I guess.
Right?
So, let's start with...
half the people is not here.
Let's start with, what's your guys' favorite moments, Greg?
Good Lord, where do I begin? The opening bit? I'll say this, the opening part... with Thanos on the ship that basically killed all the Asgardians.
Mm-hmm.
Including
Valkyrie for some reason.
I know, I didn't see her. Was she there?
I don't know.
She had to have been.
She has to be, yeah. Because everyone else.
I don't know. I mean,
if we don't see it, she's not dead.
Yeah.
Because we saw what's.
Yeah, that's what people keep saying. Like, oh, she probably survived. And I'm like, cool. Where?
Yeah, yeah. That's the other thing. I don't even know where was she survived.
But, I mean, we didn't see any of the Nova Corps people die, so I guess John C. Reilly's still alive. Peter Serafinowicz, maybe.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm getting off task here. That opening scene set up the stakes for the whole film.
Mm-hmm.
It really showed the might of Thanos and the lengths in which he is to go to get what he wants. Plus, it also gave us a reason why he's not wearing his armor.
Yes.
I really dug it. And my buddy also made a point. He's like, wait, could Heimdall open the Bifrost this entire time?
Yes.
Whatever he wanted? But I had pointed out to him, I said, it probably takes an immense amount of strength to use it without the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, okay, I guess that makes sense because he looked like he was hurt. I just assumed because he was injured. And I was like, oh, I'm sure that didn't help.
Mm.
But,
he did say for the last time, so you never know. That could have been like a suicide type of thing. Drain all your energy in return.
Oh, yeah.
True. You could be right about that. I mean, I don't think it ultimately matters because he died anyway.
Yeah, right.
I remember going into this movie, and there were a few things that I predicted, and they kind of came true, and some were just absolutely true. Basically Thor's story, I predicted. My nephews would, you know, they're asking me like, Uncle Greg, what do you think's going to happen with Thor? And I'm like, he's going to meet the Guardians. He's going to take off with Rocket and Groot. He's going to go to the Dying Star and make a new weapon. And that weapon will be Stormbreaker. Mm-hmm, and yep. My nephews were like, why do you think that? And I'm like, well, because he has to have a new weapon. He knows that, just being the God of Thunder is not going to help him defeat Thanos. And, they were like, well, why do you think it'll be a Dying Star? I'm like, you seen that scene in the trailer where he's like pulling two things and he's screaming? That's basically him opening the forge. And they were like, oh, okay. and I was like, also guys, I'm pretty sure Loki dies in the beginning of the movie. And they were like, really? And I was like, how do you know? I'm like, well, he did fuck over Thanos with the Tesseract.
Yeah.
Are we forgetting that? And the boy was like, Jesus Christ. one of the boys, Dustin, goes, well, how do you know he fucked over Thor? And I said, well, do you remember in the first movie? Yeah. Well, the, Mind Stone was given to him in the staff by Thanos. And when Loki lost, he lost 2 Infinity Stones.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
So, I would be pretty pissed off, too, if I were Thanos.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nathan goes, well, I don't think they'll kill him. They might, like, you know, make him, in, like they might hurt him. And I was like, no. For Thanos to do what he wants to do, which is basically tell the universe, I'm here, I'm purple, and you're not going to mess with me, he has to do something drastic. And I think killing gods is definitely up there.
And a beloved character that everyone... grown to love.
Yeah, I was like, that's another point I made was like, and everybody loves Loki, yeah. Like straight up just adores Loki. So you can't, like, you have to kill him off.
I don't know if everybody loves Loki.
I mean, in the Avengers, they probably don't care. The fans love him.
He's okay.
I think as a character, he's super fun.
Yeah, yeah,
he is. But comic book character, he's okay.
true. Yeah, yeah. And when I talk about this show, I'm meaning primarily the MCU, because they do borrow from some of the comics.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's be honest, Thor never has Stormbreaker. Never.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the Ultimates, the axe hammer that he has is still called Mjolnir. Because of Bed Ray Bill that has Stormbreaker. But you gotta mix it around, because movies are a different medium than comics entirely, so you can get away in comics with a lot of stuff you can't in movies.
Mm.
Especially if you wanna make the money that this movie's going to make. You have to keep it kind of more broad, like, not broad, but simpler.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't go, like, if we went to the extent that the first Infinity Gauntlet comic went to, it would be absurd.
Yeah.
They
have to reintroduce a lot of characters too, like, his name? Silver Surfer.
Mm-hmm. Because people are like, I thought it was, like, a lot of my comic fans are like, I remember it being Silver Surfer that crashes through the Sanctum Sectorum. I'm like, yeah. Do we have Silver Surfer in MCU? No. So you have to do a big green asshole. That's what you do. Also, now that I think about it, Hulk does have a big green asshole. Don't know why I'm thinking that, but here we are.
Speaking of Hulk,
I know, right?
I like in that movie, there's something that scared Hulk, and he was scared to come out.
That's all in the first scene.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying, yeah. Like you said, like that. I love that part of the movie.
It is amazing. Showing that Hulk is, he may be invulnerable to damage. Mm-hmm. Like, he may not die because of whatever reasons. He's very vulnerable to, I love how sensitive he is.
Yep.
And I'm glad they got to show that, because, like, that's something that my brother and I talk about all the time, because my brother's favorite superheroes are Thor and Hulk.
Oh, cool.
And, yeah, We've always argued about that because my three favorite are Spider-Man, Iron Man, and Captain America. His are Thor, Hulk, and Captain America.
So your list is better.
I would argue yes on that.
Something debatable.
it's honestly, it's subjective, ultimately, but talking to him about Hulk, like, I remember when Thor Ragnarok was coming out, people were like, who's going to win in that fight? My brother and I were like, did y'all forget that Hulk's strongest there is? Is that something you just wanted to forget, that Hulk's strongest there is? And then somebody like, yeah, but Thor. And I go, no, it doesn't matter. Hulk's strongest there is. He wins. Hulk, strongest there is. I love that. I absolutely adored that. Like, throughout the entire film, he would not come out. Because he's just afraid of Thanos. Yeah, I'm trying to think of what happens next. I mean, we got the Sanctum Sanctorum scene with Strange Wong, Iron Man, and I will say this. I was a little disappointed that, like, Pepper isn't using her powers.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they establish in Part 3 that she... I don't know if... I mean, at the end of Part 3, we saw, like, she has powers. But after that, we've never seen it since.
That was a while ago, too. Yeah. I think we might have to, like, reintroduce that.
You're not wrong about that. And also, people weren't super like, yay, Iron Man 3 is a great movie. Like, arguably, the only... I mean, I find all of the... I find all of the Marvel movies to be good.
Mm-hmm.
But I do understand why Iron Man 2 and 3 are considered not great. Because... I don't know, they're forgettable. It's like, I love Age of Ultron, but it's forgettable.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. We're introduced to the Black Order, which I didn't know who they were.
So, I read that run of Infinity that had them, and I was confused when I read that run in the comic books of what they are. And in the movie, they explain them better.
Oh,
really? Yeah. To me, it made more sense of what they are, of like little lackeys of Thanos.
Well, my nephews would come up to me and they're like, "So who are the Black Order, the children of Thanos? Who's Obsidian Maw and something Midnight?" And I'm just like, "Who the fuck are you talking about?" And so they would show me pictures, and I'm just like, yeah, I have no idea who these guys are, guys. Like, I mean, they're just henchmen of Thanos, I imagine. Mm-hmm. And the kids are just, the boys are just like, I thought you'd know, Uncle Greg, you know everything about comics. I'm like, so I look it up on IMDb, or not IMDb, but Wikipedia. And I'm like, oh, they were introduced in, like, mid-2000s? Yeah, mm-hmm. I stopped reading comics, like, 2001, so I'm not gonna know who they are, guys. And they were like, oh, so they're new. I was like, yeah, they're super new.
It's those basic... villains, though, like, one is strong, one is a female with a, what do you call that, the little gun pistol she had.
Yeah,
one's like a wisdom type of, or not wisdom, a magic mage, whatever, and one is all like berserk, I guess.
Berserker, like the big dude.
There was another one.
There was only four.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, there's only four.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. For some reason, I was thinking like five. Girls, like, but yeah, it's basically like, when a hero has a match, they match up with those characters.
Yeah, and I think that's absolutely intended. They're just cannon fodder, but like super cannon fodder. Because the real cannon fodder is the I don't remember what they're called, the mutated four armed creatures.
Yes, I forgot what they're called too.
They are truly cannon fodder. Mm-hmm. I also liked the joke that I thought of when I was watching the movie was, I really liked that part where Thor comes down and plays Dynasty Warriors with all those creatures.
Yeah.
It was a fun moment. So in our theater, that moment was the biggest one where everyone started clapping, only because the way they introduced Thor, the style of him hitting the ground with the, what do you call it?
Rocket.
The Bifrost style. Yeah. And with Rocket and Groot near him, and they do that circular camera. That, like, so cool to see.
Yeah.
And I wish they had that similar visual thing they did in the Avengers, the first one, where they circle around with all the characters. I was kind of waiting for that moment in this movie, But knowing that half the team is off in space, and the other half is in Earth, we'll never see that.
Well,
so
he could have done like a split screen or something.
Oh, split
like
screen
that.
Of the yeah, but that, just every character, I felt like every hero had a moment, like a moment where the crowd would cheer, like when we entered Wakanda, everyone started.
Yeah.
When the word Wakanda showed up, everyone started cheering, and
even Captain America.
Oh yeah, Captain America, when he grabbed that, what was that?
From the train.
No, yeah, from the train. Even that scene was cool, and yeah, it's just I love how they introduced the heroes again, especially the ones that
I was gonna say, like in that regard, one of the things I think the Russo brothers did really, really expertly and intelligently when it came to how to have the characters in the movie was you don't make these heroes the main characters because we've already had their movies. You make the one character who can bring them all together, Thanos, the main character.
Yep. And like in the end credits, it said Thanos will return. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
That was brilliant. I was just like, yeah, like he's the main character. Mm-hmm. He's absolute throughout the entire film. Like we see more about him and his struggles than any other character.
Yep. And then I even felt kind of bad for him
towards the end
when where he's talking about how, you know, to half the universe, and it kind of makes sense in a weird way what he's trying to do, but you just feel bad that he's this lonely character trying to do this the whole
balance,
time.
Yeah,
the balance, since even when he had Gamora as a little kid and he finally resolved that and he had to kill his love, basically.
Only love.
Yeah. So that moment when he threw Gamora didn't really touch me the way I like wanted it.
Because it was a bit ham-fisted.
Yes, yes.
Like, in my personal opinion.
Yes. The one part, I'm not ashamed to admit this, that I actually cried in, only because that character I'm invested for life is a Spider-Man character.
I saw this. I witnessed this next to him.
But the only reason, because when Spider-Man disappeared into dust, he's the only character actually like was really scared. And he said, "I'm scared, Mr. Stark, hold me," like that type of. And I started crying because I was like, "Oh my god, they're actually
kid.
Yeah, he's a kid, and he's so like not into this, like not into it, but this is so new to him. Like he did sign up for this, and that moment, I started crying."
Any of the heroes, any of them that turned to dust, I didn't feel a single, not an ounce of emotion.
Oh, that's crazy.
Here's why. Because my brain just went, they'll get the gauntlet back and reverse everything.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's what
I know that Spider-Man has another movie. Like
every time something destroyed, I told him something like, oh, yeah, there's the time one on that, for that, or the reality.
Yeah.
Remember when the first, what's his name?
Star-Lord. So my only gripe of this movie is the gems. It was hard for me to understand what was happening. I know when he uses a gem, it glows. So I understood when the time was green, reality was red. What was the other one?
Purple
was what? Which one?
I have no idea.
Yeah, so that's what I'm talking. So
I asked John to. Like,
I didn't understand what each one was doing to affect that moment. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying, but I don't agree with you. No. Here's why. We had movies that established what they can do.
Yeah, yes.
So that's... I feel that's on you for forgetting.
Yeah, yes.
Well,
But when it glows, I was like... So I know it's glowing.
Yeah.
But I don't understand the connection of that scene
because
of why it's glowing.
I think that's the thing, because he could mix and match.
Yeah, yeah. So there's parts where, like, the blue and the purple was glowing. I was like, okay, I get one part, but why is the other one glowing and stuff like that? But I at one point, though, I stopped thinking about that because that will just drive me nuts.
Especially at the end.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When he started using
all of them,
all of a sudden, like, okay, that's purple and the blue. Like, he went through him. Like, what? Okay, like...
Yeah, that's a small gripe. Like, it's like a nitpicking.
I'm trying so hard to be on your page on that, but I can't.
Because
maybe it's just the knowledge that I have from reading the comics, but also on the same point of like, it's more of a situation of like, I know what each color does, and I know what they're intended to do. The only one that you won't see glow is Soul.
Yes,
because
yes.
there's nothing involved with that other than killing somebody, just straight out. So, like, I'm curious as to why you were confused, because, like, any time that he, like, traveled through space, that the blue one would glow.
Well, yeah, that part
If he ever used strength, the purple one would glow. If he changed your reality, the red one would glow. And if you reverse time, the green would glow. So, like, that's why I'm...
I don't know. It's just, I was trying to connect, in my mind while I was watching it, I was trying to connect when they use multiple ones, but to see what affect that scene. But like I said, at one point I just forgot about it. Like I didn't
well, the snapping of his finger, like that's lifted directly from the comic.
Yeah, but they did a great job even explaining that to the audience, because remember after the movie, Audrey's like, so when he snapped, that means half of them are gone, right? Is like, yeah, that, like they mentioned in the, you know, in the beginning of the movie. I thought that was a great way to, you know,
prep it up for you.
No, what do
you? There's even a huge preface to the half of the universe thing.
Yeah,
when he's on Gamora's home planet and he's talking to her, if you when he turns her head and shows her the blade, you can literally see them kill half of the population.
Yep, right there. Yep, that's and the blade was red too.
I know what you're talking about.
Okay, yeah. I don't know if that color is like, no, oh.
I don't think it's associated with anything.
So yeah. He's explaining balance and then as they're killing them. So there's a meaning to all that. Yeah.
Yes, the balance part is absolutely, but I don't think the color has anything to do with it.
So what are your guys' favorite jokes or comedy?
Oh my gosh.
Nino, let's start with you.
There's so many jokes in there. I don't even know where to start. It's just...
There's one I knew that the crowd, and I heard my wife scream. It was just a funny joke out of nowhere. Where so Star-Lord and team meets Iron Man team, and then they say, "Who's your master?" And one is like, "Jesus." And my wife was like, "Hella laughing." Me, my wife was like, "Oh God, that's a perfect thing to say for Star-Lord." Yes. I really love that part. The way the reaction of both teams of realizing, oh wait, we're fighting for the same side, just that one moment. What was your, okay, you remember?
I think
now
mine is when Thor met with the Guardians and how they described him.
He's
a dude. No, he's not a dude, you're a dude, he's a man.
Like, with Drax and everything.
And Gamora feeling his skin.
I think the part I like is when it's in Guardians, they go towards that comedy, and when it's like with like a more serious tone, they try to balance it out more. What's your favorite funny parts?
I mirror what you guys think. Like anything with the Guardians was fantastic. But also wanted to point out that James Gunn was an executive producer on the movie.
Oh, did not know that. Wow. That makes perfect sense of why the Guardians part felt like Guardians.
Well, like the big factor I think in the Marvel movies, which is so important to keep in mind, is that the Guardians and the Thor movies, those have an absolutely different tone.
Yep.
So bringing in, people who worked on Thor to film the Thor bits, and then the people who worked on James Gunn primarily to do the Guardian stuff, really exemplifies just how different and how difficult it is to do an MCU situation. In comic book form, you can have the group of writers just kind of talk to one another.
Mm-hmm.
But for the sake of what is happening in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you have a ass ton of people working on this. And to coordinate this kind of thing is so... It's walking a thin wire. So the fact that the Guardians segment begins with a song that's on that Zoom.
Yep.
The fact that the comedy is in line, the style in which those scenes are filmed is perfectly in line, is so good. Yeah. But also let's talk about Titan for a second. You have the Guardians comedy right there. Mm-hmm. You have you have Iron Man and Spider-Man and Doctor Strange. All three had their separate movies and separate styles.
Yep.
How do you combine all those characters into the scene and make it feel right? Well, you take away the elements of each of those characters that made them that cool.
Mm-hmm.
And you film the scene to be more about Thanos.
Yep.
And how do you film Thanos? So as those scenes, when Iron Man and is introduced, it feels like Iron Man. When they're in the Sanctum Sanctorum, it feels like you're watching the Doctor Strange movie. When it goes out into the middle of New York and you have all the heroes doing their stuff, it just is a generic action film.
Mm-hmm.
The thin wire that every scene in this movie takes, I could not get over how well it was done.
Yeah.
And the other thing that's so important to keep in mind here, when I replay the movie in my head, because Jesus Christ, I need to see it again. There are so many set pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And how you film them, how you're supposed to film them, again, is incredibly important and absolutely necessary for where it's supposed to go. So, like, in that fight with Thanos on Titan, you have a guy using his magic. You have a dude who has webs and is kind of strong. Mm-hmm. You have a bunch of characters who are just spacefaring guys. And then you have a dude in a fucking metal suit. Like, I can't get over how well they did that. It blows my mind. Like, and again, I've been absorbing Marvel content borderline my whole life. And I've seen scenes like this animated a ton of times.
Mm-hmm.
I've read comics where this is happening, but never did I think I would work on film. But even like outside of that, I don't know. I'm just gushing about it because it's just so yeah, good. It's so well done.
Yes. So I'm going to cut this short a little bit because I have to go. But we didn't mention Wakanda. I love that scene too with them and just... like a couple of months after Black Panther, we go back to Wakanda. We see what happened, or, you know, with Suri and everyone. And that was a great scene and just the fight there. I don't know what else to talk about, but...
I have a question for you guys real quick. Do you think with the time gem and with Thanos, like, controlling the time gem, do you think they could reverse time enough to where... Don Cheadle turns into Terrence Howard?
Oh, that'd be so cool if Terrence Howard just agrees on that. I was like, yeah, I'll do that. Just that one scene, right? It just
that would be way too fourth wall breaking. Like that would be some Deadpool shit to happen. I don't think they'll ever do that.
No. Okay, quick thing too. So after the credit scene, they show Samuel and Maria Hill characters are.
Yeah.
Well, I'm reversing.
Nick Fury, Maria Hill.
Yes. Basically disappear. And then that minute... So, at the movie theater, I was all excited. I wore my Miss Marvel shirt. But it's the Kamala Khan one. And I didn't know that ending was going to happen. And that minute when they showed Captain Marvel's logo, I was, like, so happy. I was like, oh, I'm so close to seeing a Miss Marvel with Kamala Khan. And just like, wow, this is so cool. Just to see... That little teaser of the little beeper, mm-hmm. I guess, that's
like a
showing
pager.
Pager.
And you know, it's funny because the whole time, like, Logan, please say Logan, oh, Logan, no. Logan, the whole time. Come on, message Logan.
The X-Men, they show X.
Oh my gosh, the whole time.
Well, now that Fox, now that you know, Disney and Marvel own all those.
Yes, come on, please.
Yes. So, also I want to mention this one thing. So, when we were driving home, my wife was even telling me. So there's a thing, a throwaway, not even a throwaway line. When Doctor Strange was on Titan looking through all those fast-forward history, he said there's one thing that we'd say. But so my wife was saying, like, telling me, like, so if there's that one thing that could save them, there's a moment where Iron is getting mad at Doctor Strange because he has to not give the gem to him, but Doctor Strange choose to give them the gem. So she was telling me, like, maybe that's the right decision. That was the right decision at that moment.
Absolutely,
to do that. Yeah. And that's the, you know, because
when he's dying, he looks at Iron Man and says, "This was the only way."
Yep. And then dies. To actually get that one reality to happen.
Of course, nobody knows that.
No. Only Doctor Strange.
But I think Iron Man knows it now. I think Iron Man knows it now for sure.
Yes, and no. You never know because human factor in. You have to think about that. Like, you know, if someone's sacrificing, like, oh no, like, give me that or this guy will get tortured. It's, You never know.
I just want to see that adventure with Nebula and Iron Man now. Because to go back to Earth, and only Nebula is the only one that knows about certain things, and Iron Man, you know, being a genius.
Think about Thanos' daughter,
Gamora.
Gamora.
Yeah.
Like, because of the sister, she had to give that information. No. Yeah. But if she did, so, we won't have this story.
Yeah.
So
we're agreed.
Human factor.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. We're agreed that everything's going to be reversed, right?
I think so. But if this Fox thing happens, I'm thinking the reality gem would be used to change a whole different MCU for some reason.
Well, here's my question is some of it will get reversed. I think primarily the end of the movie. So my question to you guys is, who do you think is going to stay permanently dead?
I don't know. I mean, the people that I thought would disappear didn't disappear. It's literally the original Avengers are still alive.
I'm surprised they took out Black Panther.
That one
I was kind of shocked, but like Sam.
I was shocked because the character's so new.
Exactly. Yes. And then Spider-Man too. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
But those are the little things, but you never know.
From what I've read and what people have shown is that there are pictures of set photos from the second movie, and it looks like they're in New York with the original first Avengers movie gear.
What? So are they reversing, stopping Thanos before?
That's what I'm assuming. That they meet up with somebody, or they do something. Like maybe Nebula's like, I know somebody that could possibly help. And they gather all the people that they can that they figure can stop Thanos, and then they try to stop Thanos before he even gets the gauntlet.
That's cool. We should end it with that moment. Know, right? But yes, thank you guys for joining me on this really infinitely awesome episode. Just thank you guys. Thank you, Greg Dietz, and thank you.
Thank you for inviting us.
Yeah, it was fun. Yes. Well, I guess we'll catch you guys later. I know it feels like a rush thing, but I have to go. But thank you again. I guess we'll listen, hear you
have
guys.
Have a good day.
Yeah, have a good day. See you guys. Bye.